President Barack Obama has committed the United States to a new blueprint to eliminate poverty and hunger around the world, and he's urged other world leaders to do the same.
Because the world came together in an unprecedented effort, the global hunger rate has already been slashed, and more than 1 billion people have lifted themselves up from extreme poverty. 1 billion. The entire world can take enormous pride in these historic achievements. And so let the skeptics and cynics know, development works. We can break the cycle of poverty. People and nations can rise into prosperity.
That's the US President Barack Obama speaking at the UN Development Summit, still underway in New York. This US announcement followed China's presidential pledge to the summit of billions of dollars in aid. The Chinese president saying Beijing would forgive debts due this year in an effort to help the world's poorest nations. World leaders have gathered in New York ahead of a meeting of the UN General Assembly to sign a new agreement which builds on the UN's Millennial Development Goals first forged 15 years ago. These are the new Sustainable Development Goals. Sam Mostyn is the president of the Australian Council for International Development. That's the peak body for not-for-profit aid and development organisations. And she is at this summit in New York. Sam Mostyn, welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks so much, Fran.
So, Sam, the leaders of the two most powerful nations in the world have made some pretty powerful pledges at the summit to eliminate poverty and hunger. How significant of this, and what effect have those pledges had on the mood of this summit?
Well, I've got to say that the general mood of the summit has been highly optimistic. You've got to remember that New York at the moment and all around the UN is buzzing with not just President Obama's presentation and the Chinese president, but also with the Pope's visit. So the Pope addressed the General Assembly as well earlier this week on very similar themes about the need for the SDGs to really be honoured by all nations. And that context has been very important. But I have to also say that I think nearly every delegate, every one of the 193 member states are making very similar pledges with some variations, but there is a general mood of great optimism. There's a decided view that cynicism has to be beaten out of the system, an understanding of where the MDGs have actually taken us very successfully over the last 15 years, and that we're now moving into a new period of unprecedented opportunity to eradicate poverty in our lifetime, which would be an extraordinary outcome.
At the risk of sounding like I'm stuck in the old paradigm, Sam, cynicism, when China, the Chinese President Xi Jinping, pledged $2 billion in additional aid and pledged to forgive much of the debt of some of the world's poorest nations in this year anyway. Was that accepted on face value, or did that inextricably lead to, inevitably lead to a discussion about, you know, China trying to extend its reach and influence over smaller nations?
Look, I think we've got to take a very pragmatic view at the moment, Fran. It's easy to start pulling apart the issue of China or US or any of the nations involved in this. The last couple of days has been a very strong commitment across all member states that there is something that has changed significantly in the uplift from the MDGs to the SDGs. Mm-hmm. There have been offers and pledges not just from nation states but from very significant corporate players, from civil society, right across the board involved in international development. And I think we'll see things play out over the next few years as people try to unpack what the intentions of some countries are. But the spirit and the mood of the UN and the General Assembly at the moment is very positive, particularly because there's an acknowledgement that governments actually can't do this anymore by themselves.
Yes.
And I think the conversation has really now included the idea that the future of fixing extreme poverty and all of the other issues that flow from that will come from unique new partnerships involving private sector actors, philanthropists. We've seen Melinda Gates make some magnificent presentations here, and new actors in the environment that will actually have to leverage trillions of dollars of capital flows rather than what the MDGs were about, which was mainly about governments taking that role.
And we've already seen that happen, of course, over the last few years in the fight against HIV and some other diseases and the influence of the Bill and Melinda Gates and others in this space. When you say we change from the MDGs, which is the Millennium Development Goals, to the SDGs, which is the Sustainable Development Goals, just briefly, don't go through all 17 of them, but what's at the heart of the Sustainable Development Goals? How are we changing our focus here?
There's a big list here. The former MDGs were really about how the developed world, if you use that language, was going to assist the developing world to lift these goals, which are now being called the global goals, to make it a little bit easier, apply to all nations, no matter what their status, their economics are. So all countries that sign up to the global goals are making a commitment to ensuring that the goals, the 17 goals, are met in their domestic environments as well as in the global context. It's a very big step change. And all countries have agreed that they're going to need to have to work on frameworks for dealing with things like inequality, gender, and education and climate change in domestic environments as well as the countries they're assisting. So that's a big lift. The bigger part of this, though, is that the global goals are looking to address the root causes of inequality and poverty rather than the outcomes themselves. So there's a much deeper dive into things like how you build sustainable cities, how you actually deal with inequality within cities and within nations, and how we deal with education. And the gender equality lens has been applied to nearly every goal. And the goal that's taken up most of the time, I think, of all of the work here has been Goal 16, which is for peace, justice and institutions. So it's anti-corruption action.
So this will mean that there's a greater focus, sort of global focus, on what each country is doing across the board. What about funding? Because the Australian federal government, we know, has cut, I think it's $4 billion in the foreign aid program in the years ahead. Will this put pressure or is there any kind of pressure there that you're feeling on Australia for those cuts to foreign aid?
The Foreign Minister has been very strong in her advocacy about Australia's role in the global goals throughout the time here this week. And of course, you know, ACFID has lobbied hard to say that the cuts that came through under the previous Prime Minister were terrible for the aid program. But what the Minister's been talking about and ACFID members are keen to think about is exactly how we now find new funding models, how we do leverage the capital markets, private sector partnerships and pay respect to civil society and NGOs in the delivery of what, as I said, these new goals will require trillions of dollars across the development of the next 15 years. And governments just won't have that kind of money to play with. So there's a step change here in terms of the scale of partnerships and the leveraging of private money, philanthropic money, and civil society being a key partner with those new players in development.
It's exciting. It's coming up towards 8 o'clock. Sam Mostyn is our guest. Sam, we've only got a minute or so to the news, but can I just ask you briefly, in your role as an AFL commissioner, you're probably aware, I'm not sure, of the horrible, ugly scene that spread across, came out on Friday night when an AFL Fremantle fan punched a woman in the throat at the preliminary final. Disappointing at any point, horrible at any point, but also in the week that the Prime Minister had come out and urged Australia to have respect for women. What's your response to this?
Look, it was a terribly distressing thing to see, even at this, even from this far away in New York. I was very upset to see it. I would just join Gil McLaughlin in his very strong comments earlier this week, straight after it happened, that you just have to condemn this behaviour in the strongest terms. I was very pleased to see that the venue had actually banned this person for life from accessing the venue because of his behaviour. And it just underscores the need for constant vigilance about this kind of behaviour, particularly towards women and families at places like the footy. It's one of the reasons why we're a partner with the White Ribbon Campaign at the AFL, and we spend a lot of time, you know, trying to underscore why this matters so much and why there's a no tolerance for this kind of violence against anyone, but particularly in this case against women.
Sam Mostyn, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Sam Mostyn is the president of the Australian Council for International Development.